Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
G'day, mate, and welcome to a special edition of the... I'm sorry, I tried to do an accent, and I don't know if it worked.
Didn't work. It didn't work in conceit nor execution.
Welcome to the podcast. It's the Advanced Analytics Podcast, Delayed NBA Finals, Crow Eating Edition. My name is Guy Williams. I'm joined by my brother, Paul Williams.
How's it going?
And
I said, how's it going?
Good.
Okay, good.
I'm good too, Paul, for the record.
And we're also joined by JT.
Top of the world, my beloved Bucks, brought it home. Vengeance for Giannis.
It's time for Advanced Analytics. So we need to eat some crow, I think, straight away. Paul, you were the least bad on this, but I mean, I was definitely very critical of Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday, who obviously had a pretty exceptional finals. I mean, they had some weak spots, but they came through in the clutch. And JT, you just absolutely crapped.
No, I'm not eating crow. I'm not eating crow. You need to eat crow. Confirmed crow. I don't need to eat crow because here's what. No, I need to eat a little button hose of crow, which is the fucking worst. That's pure feathers. That's like no crow meat at all. That's just beak and feathers and claws. So button hose, I'll get to. I'm not eating Giannis crow. Everything I said about Giannis still remains.
No, it doesn't.
He is horrible to watch. Horrible.
No. You didn't just say aesthetically he was bad. You said the Bucks would be better with him coming off the bench.
Yes, and I could not. Okay, I could not have foreseen that Blake Griffin. Right, the Nets were able to shut Giannis down using Blake Griffin. I could not have foreseen that a professional basketball team could not match Blake Griffin's athleticism and defensive ability.
So this is my observation of the finals for you, JT. You put all your eggs in a Suns basket. You love the Suns. You called them early. And to your credit, like, you did a good prediction there because I had no faith in the Suns. I thought they were going to lose in the first round, and they made it all the way to the finals. But then your bigger prediction was that Giannis sucks ass. And so when the Suns didn't prove your prediction right, you just turned feral on the Suns. You hated them.
The Suns choke, that's true. But I did always say that the Bucks had for their first five is way stronger than the Suns. Like, it's not even close.
They are. I wouldn't say the Suns choked. I'd say they outplayed. I'll give you my take for 2 seconds, and Paul, you can jump in because you haven't even spoken yet. It's time for you to eat a bit of crow too, maybe. I'm enjoying this crow. We rode a roller coaster, right? We loved the Bucks round one, and we're like, why haven't we supported this team our whole lives? They drafted their players. They're a homegrown, small market team that swept the Miami Heat. They got revenge. They've got a bad backstory, the Raptors, the Heat. They're coming on the revenge. And then they hit the Nets, and they were so bad against a team that was severely weakened. We were like, we hate this team. And then they were almost even worse against the Hawks, who shouldn't even had any business of being there, and we were down on them. And then somehow, magically, I don't know what they did, but somehow in the NBA Finals, the Bucks, who have just been struggling in the playoffs for 3 or 4 years in a row, it just all came together. And all of a sudden, they decided to play it to their best abilities, and they won the NBA championship in spectacular fashion. Like, Giannis was unbelievable. Bud made good choices. Drew Holiday finally started hitting some shots. Chris Middleton was clutch. Like, it was an amazing finals performance, and I'm happy to be wrong because that was entertaining.
Well, okay. Well, let me ask you this, because I came prepared with one big stat. Paul, I don't think Paul actually deserves too much crow.
I got no crow to eat.
And also, I'll tell you what, you can take a man to crow, but you can't make him eat. And that's mine. I won't be eating any crow until you refute this statistic.
Okay.
Okay. Eastern Conference semis versus Brooklyn. Giannis, admittedly this is seven games, shot 31 three-pointers, right?
Yeah.
And had 28 turnovers. Now, who guarded Giannis most of the time? Blake Griffin, correct?
Yeah, yes.
Is Blake Griffin a good defender, historically?
No, especially now.
And what did Blake Griffin do to defend Giannis?
Pack the paint.
Gave him 8 feet whenever he touched the ball. And I'll give you that stat again. 31 three-pointers attempted.
Yeah.
In the finals, Giannis attempted 15 three-pointers. Okay, that's my stat.
Yeah. your cadence was weird there. Like, it seemed
No, I was going to say the turnovers one, but he actually had a heap of turnovers. Not he had 14 turnovers, half. Why was Jay Crowder and Ayton guarding Giannis like he can shoot?
Okay, rewind 2 steps, because it was more like the Nets team defense. It wasn't Blake Griffin on his own. Blake Griffin contributed, but I don't think Blake Griffin was playing like less than 20 minutes a game. Like, there was other players guarding Giannis.
Yeah, I think JT's talking more like from a tactical standpoint. It seemed like Brooklyn were sagging off him.
Yeah.
And Blake Griffin just stood in front of him.
He's making it sound like Blake Griffin shut Giannis down. Giannis was still scoring like 30 points a game.
I reckon Blake Griffin got a lot of steals off Giannis. But anyway, all I'm saying is they used Blake Griffin, a bad defender, in a much smarter way than they used Ayton, mobile defender.
It was their team defense, and like they played better as a unit. But also, I think Giannis, just like, for a guy who broke his leg in half, he elevated, man, and like, what? Yeah, it was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen, because I didn't think he was going to be, when we made the predictions before the finals, I didn't think he was going to be playing. And if he was going to be like a net negative because he was going to be so injured.
I'll tell you what really pees me off. I'll tell you what really pees my eye. I hate how it's like an anti-hipster view. Two things that I hate. One is, in basketball is like the most goldfish commentary ever. And I don't just mean like commentators. I mean right from Nate Duncan down to your average Joe. People after 2 games are like, that's it, series over. And then 2 games later, they're like, Suns never had a chance. Like, they never said it before, right?
Yeah.
But JT, it's kind of unprecedented until this playoffs. It's not normal for teams to come back from 2-0 down. Like, when the Raptors did it 3 years ago, it was unbelievable. And now it just keeps on happening. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, fair enough. But my main point was, my thing that I hate the most is how it's like a cool hipster take to love Giannis now, to be like, oh, basketball guys don't even know what they're talking about. He can't shoot. But I maintain all his weaknesses are still weakness. He played the most amazing you can play for a horrible game, and I'll give him that.
No. He scored 50 points in a closeout game to win the NBA Finals, but we haven't heard much from Paul. We'll go to you, Paul. What your takes on the finals, or what we've been talking about?
I just want to say that what I said about the Bucks was that on paper they were much stronger. Mm. 4 All Stars and PJ Tucker is an elite team.
They don't have 4 All Stars.
Giannis, Middleton, Drew, Lopez is 4 All Stars.
Okay, only Giannis and Middleton were All Stars this year, and Lopez washed. All he was like a minimum.
I reckon Lopez is the secret weapon to the Bucks and has been for the last few years.
I can't believe
he's not on Team USA right now. They could use just shot blocking and threes for a center is liquid gold. And I can't believe, didn't the Lakers not take him?
The Lakers might have cut him.
Yeah, the Lakers let him go after he started shooting threes.
Yes. Insane. My dream player is a Jaren Jackson Jr. Blocks and threes, or Miles Turner. Blocks and threes, or Brooke Lopez is the founding member of it.
Paul, is it something about a big man that can shoot and block that means they can't rebound? Because it's crazy Jaren Jackson can't either.
Yeah, well, possibly. I got annoyed when people were ragging on Paul Zingas so hard for not getting rebounds. The guy's a three-point shooter. He's tall, but I don't know, cut him some slack.
But he's not shooting three-pointers on defense, though.
Yeah, yes, but he's just getting ready to.
So Paul, you're a big Suns fan going into it.
Not really. I kind of.
Oh, JT, you're a big Suns fan. You must be gutted about the Suns. No?
Mm. My stance was I quite liked both teams. Yeah. I didn't really mind who won. I wanted it for Chris Paul, but.
Yeah, I think we all loved the Suns for a period of time there, and we were very high on the Suns, and they kind of capitulated. But I just want to talk briefly about Chris Paul, because he is a player who's had like kind of a cursed career, and we were all quite excited to see him make it to the finals. And same with Devin Booker as well. And then in the finals, I definitely turned on Chris Paul and Booker pretty hard. Booker for complaining all the time and Chris Paul for just kind of Chris Pauling, you know, just kind of doing his usual kind of bullshit a little bit. I don't know. I felt like we soured on the Suns very quickly between the last pod and this. Just me?
The Suns were kind of very lovable when things were going well, and when they were going bad, you're like, what are they doing? Very frustrating to watch. But I think Monty Williams, I don't know if he like is tactically all there. Like I think he's like the king of doing motivational speeches and being like, you know, these players are like my sons.
Yeah.
But I don't know if,
That's a perfect example though. Amazing how that twisted, right? Because everyone was like, the Suns have the coaching advantage with Monty Williams. We all memed Budenholzer when he used play random in games 1 and 2, and it was used in the clip because it was so funny.
I'm still not saying Budenholzer's off the hook.
No, I'm just saying it was quite interesting that Budenholzer ended up out coaching, you know, the guy who was a hero like a round ago.
Guys, pass the crow around. Let's get that plate each because we all owe. Budenholzer is a good coach.
No,
he is. No. I'm sorry. The Bucks.
I can't believe JT's saying this.
Yeah, but look at the audio and how it's peaking when you. Yeah. can I say?
Wait, no. Leave JT finish the sentence. What's he going to say?
No, I'd love to hear Paul's thoughts in case it's something I haven't thought of.
I just think the Bucks are better on paper than they played a lot of the playoffs. Yeah. Is my theory.
Yeah. So here's my theory, which is maybe this is maybe a real hot take, and I would have never thought I'd believe this, but you know how, basically the Lakers last year, they just try and keep Anthony Davis and Cotton Will as long as possible, right? They just like. Know that they'll win if Anthony Davis is healthy. So they just play, what's his face? Dwight Howard, big minutes.
Mm.
I reckon Bud knew that Giannis has only one trick in his sleeve, but that he has the heart, which is like unheard of in the NBA, to just do your one unstoppable move over and over and over and never shoot. But he could only do that for one series. So that's why they're like, Buck strategy makes no sense until you like, if you can get to the finals, then Giannis will just run up and down at the hoop for 7 games.
Nah, I kind of, while I enjoy hating on Giannis and some of his limitations, he really put it all together in the finals. And I thought he was much more than the driving and dunking player that James Harden had crapped on. You know, like this was a guy who was hitting fadeaways, you know, finishing in traffic. He had kind of like that, like long two. Like if you leave him unmarked, he can't hit a three, but he can hit a long two. Like he really, for 50 points, he really pulled out a full bag of tricks. It was exceptional to watch, I thought.
Well, that was the main difference between the series. The main key difference was that he was hitting, 70% or 65%?
JT, you got to break that heart of Iceman and go Giannis in that final game. And what a narrative for a guy who was mentally broken by the Toronto Raptors because he couldn't make any from that day. He was an okay free throw shooter. He was like 60 to 75% free throw shooter for his career. And then all of a sudden the Raptors got him. They were down, they were up two, and Raptors won 4 in a row. And he was broken mentally. And in the final game, the closeout game, he came right. He did to the Suns what the Raptors did to him. And all of a sudden he could hit his free throws again. It was like watching Jesus rise from the tomb after Lazarus. I don't know many Bible stories, but Lazarus was involved and Mary Magdalene was there. It was amazing.
Yeah. I will eat another one feather. I will agree. I think it actually is pretty awesome if you're like known for not shooting free throws and then you come back in the clutch moment. That's pretty awesome. And then the second feather. But again, I put this down more to Phoenix's bad defense, but he was playmaking really well in the finals. Hmm.
And what about Drew Holiday? That's the crow I got to eat because I thought he was piss poor all the way through the playoffs. So I thought he was a big problem. Couldn't hit shots and couldn't make layups. And then in the finals, like we all knew he was a good defender. And like I criticized him for man-marking Chris Paul all at the floor. Boy, did that pay off as Chris Paul just ran out of wheels. And Drew Holiday just like, it's not often that a steal is remembered as a highlight of an NBA Finals. I guess Bird stealing the ball that time. But, like, yeah, that steal and the pass to Giannis, like, that's legendary moments in NBA history right there.
Yeah, strong agree, Drew. You're a big Drew man, aren't you, Paul?
Huge Drew man. Happy for him. My one complaint was in the post-game interviews during the trophy presentation. So they went Giannis, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, and Bobby Portis. And I just felt bad for... I would have liked to hear from PJ Tucker, who you know would have had an absolute fire speech. And I wanted to hear from Brook Lopez as well. And I thought, yeah, Bobby Portis, he's a fan favorite or whatever.
Yeah.
But
So that's a contrarian take, because everyone was like complimenting, was it Maria or whoever the sideline commentator was for bringing on Bobby? Because everyone was like, Bobby, Bobby, yeah, right. They all wanted him. The story today about Bobby, did you hear the story today, JT? The story is that when Bobby was 15 years old, he got sick of his mum's boyfriend being physical with her. So Bobby fought his stepdad and the family moved and then he was fighting for a better life. It was one of those American stories where you don't know how much of it is true.
I don't mean to laugh, but it also, like, is that why Bobby Portis, a now grown man, thinks that the resolution to everything is fighting?
Nah, I think Bobby Portis, until something bad about him comes out, which with like kind of... loose units like
he assaulted his teammate.
No, he. But
he assaulted a co-worker.
Everyone on the Bulls deserved that. Mirotić deserved to get got.
I don't know. I just have different standards for the workplace.
But I must say that I thought it was one of the most enjoyable finals I'd seen in a while. I didn't think the Suns were that bad. Like they just got outplayed in the end. Like
it was the 18 turnovers. 18 turnovers in game four. That's what I consider the choke.
It was bad.
Okay, let's move on.
What?
Congrats to the Bucks. hard luck to the Suns.
Yeah.
Where does PJ Tucker's trophy day speech rank all time? It's got to be up there with ha ha ha, right?
Wait, what's ha ha ha?
When Kawhi did that awesome callback when he's like, ha, when he's like,
yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
No, the PJ Tucker, if you haven't seen it, he had a great, some great quotes about being dogs.
One of the drunkest speeches ever given.
Yes. But that's what I wanted to hear after the game, you know? But anyway, at least he got a chance to say it on the parade day. But
I've always felt PJ Tucker's all-time great personality, but do you think that's it's an overreach?
What I like PJ Tucker's personality. You know, every time, like even just from like the last few weeks, the videos of him, giving someone some shoes or whatever, he seems
it's super rare to be like the tough guy, defensive guy, but also be like a real jokester.
Yeah. What's interesting is before, because we were possibly going to talk about our studs and duds of the season, I was just doing a quick Google to look at what other people had said were the most disappointing players. And I found a website called Sports Skeeter, and they put the five most disappointing players of this season. But this was written in May, and number one on the list was PJ Tucker.
Oh, jeez, brutal.
Who was number two? That was when he was with the Rockets, maybe.
Number two was James Wiseman. Number three, Kevon Looney. Who had high hopes?
I mean, this is not a reliable website, but Sports Skeeter is a funny one because it's one you always end up on. Do you know the site that amazes me? JT, you might know about this. What the heck is Business Insider? Why created an article about every... It doesn't matter what you Google. On the front page of Google, Business Insider will come up. They are masters of everything.
I just always thought it was just like an aggregator site.
It's amazing. And but the stories have nothing to do with business as well. They're there.
Here's one for you, all you net heads out there. Have you ever Googled something real niche and then there's like maybe one or two hits on the internet and then like the third hit is like exactly this phrase that you searched, but it's like at WordPress. And how is that? Do you know what I'm talking about? It's crazy.
Like someone's asked it exactly.
No, but they definitely haven't. It's some way of taking what you've searched and like presenting it back to you in a URL and and like putting it in the rankings of Google search results. It's nuts.
I kind of get what you're saying, where like, yeah, you're desperately searching for something very specific, and there'll be, I've never noticed it with WordPress, but it'll come up as a hit, and you're like, they've obviously cheated the system somehow. Like they've found a way of like typing up an article with a bot in the time it was searched with what, I don't know. Yeah, amazing. Science. Future.
Business Insider generated 30% more revenue growth in 2020 despite COVID-19.
Wait. For online web pages, wasn't COVID a positive thing?
Well, I'm just saying that obviously Business Insider got the inside scoop on that one.
Before we move on from the finals chat.
But you were the one trying to move it on.
Before we move on, who was everyone's finals MVP, most valuable player?
Oh, I'm going to say Brook Lopez. No, Giannis.
JT?
Yeah, I mean, I think, okay.
I can't games wait to see what JT's
going to say. I actually think it was Chris Middleton. I think he like won. It didn't. They would have gone in the next round without Chris.
In the next round.
And I think in the next round, I think they would have lost without
next
Chris.
Round.
Not the next round.
I thought finals MVP was just for the six games of the finals.
I think.
I thought it was the whole finals.
Like the playoffs.
The whole playoffs.
You're really playing word games there.
Nah, I think it's just the finals.
And you're right. Middleton, if there was an MVP for the Bucks of the Nets series, then almost certainly Middleton. But in the finals, probably Giannis. Paul?
Yeah,
Giannis. Who's your finals MVP?
Mine for the finals was Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you shared that. That's nice.
Okay, that's the end of finals chat.
Yeah. What do you want to move into?
Oh, I don't know. Something else.
Space Jam.
Weekend review. Everybody get up. It's time to slam.
Space Jam.
We got a real thing going down. Welcome to the Space Jam.
We all went as friends. JT, first reaction to watching the Space Jam movie.
Yeah, okay. Shit, really got to go back to the old memory banks. Well, in that case, it's sometime during this podcast. So I'm going to have to check my phone, but I'm not being rude. I'm currently bidding on an exercise. But I'll wait till it's someone else talking. But just so you guys know, I'm not being rude.
Is it a Peloton? What sort of exercise are you putting on?
Man, you guys like don't even know how crazy the world of secondhand exercises is. The one I was looking at just now called the Destroyer. But destroy what? It's by definition, you're by yourself. Don't destroy yourself on this thing.
I think that's the angle. You're destroying yourself.
Just like loving cycling so much, like it destroys you.
No, you destroy your body and that feels good. Like the pain is pleasure.
Okay, speaking of pain being pleasure, loved Space Jam. Loved it. I'm 100%, but I see it. Have you ever seen the YouTube series about how Jar Jar Binks is secretly working for the Empire in Star Wars?
Yeah.
So I want to do a YouTube video about how LeBron is the villain of Space Jam, and he never learns his lesson.
I'd agree with that. I found it very hard to, at one point, like during the climax, I was like, are we rooting for Don Cheadle or for LeBron?
No.
Like, you genuinely don't know.
No, I was rooting for Dom to go and live with Don Cheadle to have just like a better life and a dad that loved him and shared his interests.
Okay, so if people don't know the plot, it's not a spoiler to say that it's in the trailer. LeBron's kid gets kidnapped and his kid's name's Dom in the film.
Is in the trailer.
It is, yeah, it literally is. His kid gets you guys just spoiled it anyway. His kid gets kidnapped and by Don Cheadle, whose name in the film is Algae Rhythm, which has got to be one of the worst puns of the year. And he's a Warner Brothers algorithm who wants LeBron to star in all his movies because he thinks LeBron's going to fix his movies because he sees he's got a good Instagram account. It is a shocking start and a terrible plot. But one of the funniest bits is at the start where they want to create LeBron a story arc. They make him start as a dick father so he can become a nice father at the end. And they don't judge the tone right. So he just genuinely comes on and is so cold and so mean to his son.
It's a very funny scene.
That I laughed out loud. Yeah,
it's a very
gold.
Funny scene.
Yeah, not intentionally funny.
I think it's intentionally funny.
No, LeBron being real mean.
On the court, I thought that was intentionally funny.
But didn't you find it almost like borderline uncomfortable at times?
Yeah.
The fact that LeBron has kids those age, it's like autobiographical, but it just cut way too close to the bone. Like, I genuinely believe that LeBron's real life. What's the one, Bryce, the youngest one or the second one? Like,
yeah,
emailed that script, like wrote it and emailed it as like a desperate last,
yeah,
last gasp to get his dad to love him.
It'll definitely come out that like the script was written by a mysterious unknown person showed up on LeBron's doorstep, who had the access code to get into LeBron's house. They didn't have to have the access code because they were already in the house.
So I thought it was a shockingly bad movie, but I did enjoy, as an NBA fan who has a bit of back knowledge of some of the inside jokes. I don't want to brag about it, but I got some of the jokes they had in the film. I don't know how many kids are enjoying, what's his name? The Knight, was it Gary Knight, the Indiana coach? What was his name? Someone Knight, Bob Knight, throwing a chair across the court. Like, I don't know how many kids are aware of that joke. Maybe that's one for the parents. But I loved every minute of the film. Like, I genuinely enjoyed, like, kind of hate watching it. So I would say it's a very bad film, but if you're a Basel fan, two thumbs up. You got to go see it. It's canon. It's
poor. So,
if you're a Space Jam fan, you're going to hate it, I reckon.
No, I'm a Space Jam fan.
If you're a Looney Tunes fan, you're a deranged idiot and you shouldn't really be going to the movies or doing anything. Who on this planet, honestly, email me. Email me at looneytunes1@gmail.com and tell me who on earth, child, man, woman, whatever. Just do you enjoy the japes and the gags of Looney Tunes? Because they're not funny.
So on that note, 5 years ago, Patrick Patterson, currently playing for the Clippers, wrote an article about why they shouldn't make a Space Jam. You can read it on the Players Tribune. And he pointed out that exact thing, that in the 90s, the Looney Tunes were super relevant and quite, big in terms of the pop culture kind of ladder. And he says that kids these days don't really even know them. And so it would make more sense for them to go to like Bikini Bottom and team up with SpongeBob and Patrick.
I would Patterson? Love it. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
But that Patrick Patterson's onto it there. Because the only reason that they were famous in the 90s is probably because boomers had nothing else to watch, right? And they were like, well, I mean, and I guess a talking bunny is funny if you've never seen TV before.
I'm glad you bring this up, JT, because I have a theory that entertainment was invented in about 2008, and anything before then, don't get me wrong, they did achieve entertainment from time to time, but not frequently. So there's a lot of legendary shows from like 1992 that we all really enjoyed, like the Beverly Hillbillies. Okay, that's from the 1950s. But like a lot of things we watched as a kid just don't hold up today at all because of the internet has risen so much that a lot of stuff was done before entertainment was invented. Or, for example, music that was released before music was invented. And music was invented when people other than white people were allowed to perform it back in the day where people, you two were the kings of music, you know.
What annoyed me about Space Jam 2, okay, when we came out, I was like, oh, yeah, I mean, it was fine. But then after a few days, I started getting annoyed thinking about how much I loved the original Space Jam and how kind of big it felt. Like, everything felt
huge.
Like, the songs were number one hits, you know? I Believe I Can Fly.
R. Kelly was innocent at the time.
Yes.
Or at least not guilty at the time.
Yes. Like, even, okay, the soundtrack, I Believe I Can Fly, Fly Like an Eagle, Basketball Jones, Hit 'Em High, That's the Way I Like It, Welcome to the Space Jam. Mm. Okay, what was one song in that movie that comes anywhere, I didn't even notice if there were songs in that movie. There was, but it's like, the soundtrack should be, Drake.
R. Kelly.
Jay-Z.
Get him out of there.
Beyonce. Taylor Swift, like, it shouldn't be this.
You don't want Taylor Swift on the Space Jam.
Sorry, don't have Space. I didn't mean. But I was just meaning like, I want some star power on the soundtrack.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
And I want some star power in the movie. Okay, so in the movie they had Space Jam, Bill Murray, Larry Bird. This one. Okay,
Patrick Ewing, Charles Barkley.
Yes, this one. In the main kind of sidekick role.
Paul, you're very fired up about this.
Who did they land?
I like the passion.
Who did they land? Chris Davis. The guy who doesn't even have a Wikipedia.
By the way, while
Chris Davis.
While Paul's doing this rant, JT is bidding on an exercise and trade me.
I was actually going to say, I know for, I was like, Little Uzi Vert was in it, but then I was like, damn, I don't actually know who that is. And then, so I quickly bought up the Space Jam 2 soundtrack, and Paul, I don't want to steal your thunder if this is where you're going.
What?
But this is—I don't recognize like any of these people.
Tell us the first few listings on the new Space Jam soundtrack.
Okay, We Win by Lil Baby. Now I do know who Lil Baby is.
He's a big deal.
Are you thinking of Da Baby?
Oh no, I'm thinking of Da Baby. Yeah, not Lil Baby.
Is a much smaller deal than Da Baby.
That's so funny. I was like, I know who Da Baby is. He's on the Dua Lipa song.
Now the next
that's
one.
So funny, they tricked us.
Next one is another trick. Okay, because it's called Control the World, and Lil Wayne's on it. I go, oh, Lil Wayne's pretty big, but Lil Wayne is the featured artist, and the main artist is someone, and I'm not making this name up, 24K Golden, but there's no E, so G-O-L-D-N, 24K Golden. Now, if you've got that as your rapper name, just think about how late in the piece you've made it, if that's the best name available. That's like a name, if you were trying to sign up to Gmail now, and you were like, I want to be 24 karat gold, you'd be like stoked to get this one.
Paul, you're the youngest of us. Have you heard of 24K Golden?
I have heard of him.
That's a good song.
But I wouldn't be able to tell you a song or anything. It's just the name is vaguely familiar. But I'll tell you what name isn't familiar. Chris Davis. Who was the main
back on Chris Davis
or even Kevin Hart? But just get someone a star. This is Space Jam, okay? So at first I was like, oh, they must have just had not nearly the budget. But I even like with inflation, changing the original one.
Paul's crunched the numbers on this, guys.
Original
crunched
Space
numbers.
Jam, 138 million.
Crunched numbers.
A New Legacy, 150 million.
Wow.
So I don't know where that money was. I guess for the CGI or something. But, firstly, the NBA stars they chose, Anthony Davis, the most unliked star in the league. Like, no one's like...
No, I think a lot of people like
No
Anthony
one's
Davis.
Favorite player is Anthony Davis.
Peel her into eyebrows.
No, no one likes Anthony Davis. I'll tell you the exact... I'll tell you the only people that like Anthony Davis...
Not for basketball, not for personality.
Exactly. And it's only the Looney Tunes... The one Looney Tunes fan out there also his other poster is Anthony Davis.
Can I just defend Anthony Davis? I do think he actually has an okay personality, but you're right. People don't like it for it, but I think he actually's got an okay personality. Continue.
Well, get the most charismatic, kind of funny players. So I like Klay Thompson makes sense.
That was
me.
A great choice.
And Dame Lillard makes sense because he's such a big star and he's lovable. But they must have been on set for 1 hour.
Yeah.
And then gone to a voice booth for 1 hour on a different day.
Yeah.
Because think about the first one, how much the stars are in it.
Yeah.
You know, they lose their powers. Charles Barkley goes, he tries to play someone one-on-one and he gets schooled. Oh my goodness.
So I agree the script is horrific. I will say this though, Paul, and there's a big difference. Space Jam is essentially a kids' movie. And when you watched the first one, you were perfect for it. You would have been like 8 years old, like right there in the moment. Whereas you're watching this one as a 20-something-year-old man.
Mm.
Like, it's not surprising you're going to hate this. Whereas kids today will think this movie here is a work of art. And then in 20 years' time, when they're making Space Jam 3 with Luca, that you'll be like, they'll be like, oh, I can't believe they ruined the one with LeBron. That was the classic, you know?
Nah, I kind of disagree.
Nah, I don't. I'm with Paul. I liked it, but it's not as iconic.
So you reckon in 20 years, Chris Davis is going to be like,
I just think the movie is bad, but like, it's not that much worse than the first. Oh, it's a lot worse than the first. But being a kid is a big part of it as well.
But I've got to, like, again, I'm a huge LeBron lover as a basketball player. But again, there's a huge difference between Michael Jordan being in a movie and LeBron. Michael Jordan Michael Jordan was so famous at the time, it would be like the equivalent of Ronaldo, Messi, who's some tennis player, and LeBron all in the same movie.
We've had this argument before. I honestly think LeBron now is as famous as Michael Jordan was back then.
Yeah, but again, you've got to differentiate. So don't think about, like, say, say we had a metric called total fame, right? And you'd go, and it was the
this
number
is so
of people.
A metric called total fame.
And it's the number of people who know you are, who you are and recognize yeah. you, right? And you might go on raw volume, Michael Jordan at peak was 200 million and LeBron's 200 million, right? Whatever.
Yeah.
But what you got to remember is it's about relative fame. And at the moment, there are like thousands of people with a huge amount of fame. And it's everyone is online, so everyone knows everyone.
In the Whereas 90s, Michael, there was like four famous people.
That's right. And again, only one famous basketball.
Because you guys were children in the 90s. So you guys didn't know about the other lesser famous people.
No.
You didn't know about like the players who played for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Pre-internet. There was like, where did you even get your like celebrity stuff from? You know, it would be like the newspaper or whatever. And they were only covering the four celebrities, which were Michael Jordan, Michael Jackson. There were two celebrities.
I honestly think LeBron has been like the most famous basketball player in the world for 25 years. He's quite a big deal. And you got to remember the NBA now reaches into China, Asia, India more than ever before. I honestly think LeBron's fame, and I hear you. In America, he's not as much of a god as LeBron was, but I'm like, his fame would be equal, and I wouldn't be surprised if his movie, even though it's an absolute piece of shit, does better because it'll reach into emerging markets and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, and you make a good point, because obviously LeBron James' shoes are like iconic, and everyone around the world says like how they want to be like LeBron, and they have it all by his shoes, right?
No, you honestly, this is just an age generation thing, because I don't like LeBron and I don't like his shoes. But look at every player who's new into the NBA this year; their favorite player is LeBron, and they're excited to play with LeBron. Like he is the LeBron of he's the Michael Jordan of his generation.
No way. Michael Jordan's fame was like so unparalleled.
Yeah, agreed.
It's. Again, I say, how are you judging fame on number of people in the world? Because
on how relative at the time, how like many people knew who Michael Jordan was
worldwide. So LeBron would easily match Michael Jordan at that level, but just because of the internet and the ability for the NBA to reach further.
If in 1990, okay, what year would you say was the peak of Michael Jordan?
But 98.
Yeah, 97. Yeah.
Okay, 1997. You get a randomly select 1,000 people from around the world.
Yes.
Okay.
I guarantee more people will know who LeBron James is.
You show them a photo of Michael Jordan.
I just said his name wrong. It's LeBron James
in a red Chicago Bulls uniform. Okay. You select 1,000 people randomly from around the world. You take LeBron James in, say, a white Miami Heat jersey?
What?
What's his most iconic uniform?
So what you're doing here is you're tricking people because LeBron's played for three teams. I'd say yellow Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay. So you'd pick him. Surely you'd pick him.
You're creating a scenario to lead to your argument.
No, okay, here's
his
a good...
His name is well known. I would say they'd be on a par. I definitely hear you guys that Michael Jordan was a trailblazer and like a superstar that like defined superstars. But now LeBron in the modern era can reach further than Michael Jordan ever could.
But there's also more people on the earth.
There was a time when Kobe Bryant like reached like almost Michael Jordan levels. You know, like it's like really interesting. Like, and LeBron will get surpassed by the next big thing that Luka or whoever's going to surpass him. You know?
When there's a movie by a little Bow Wow about him wanting to be like LeBron, maybe then I'd consider it. But also, I'll just state that before Jordan's, what's the most famous basketball shoe you've ever heard of?
Converse Chuck Taylor.
Not including the Chuck Taylor. I mean a specific player's.
Jordan had the first signature shoe, all besides Chuck Taylor.
Yeah, exactly. Does that not answer the argument?
You got jacked up by that, the most successful shoe of all time.
No, not successful. Jordan created that. Jordan was so famous from the time he went into the league that he created, there's a whole product category created around him.
It's really interesting that you think that Jordan created that because Nike helped.
No, I'm saying Nike created it around Jordan, but he was so famous even coming. He was such a commodity at year one that they created a product category off his fame.
And LeBron has hit like the similar levels of commodity, if not more, which explains why.
Like there's Bengals. What does LeBron bring in?
LeBron's got to $1 billion faster than Michael Jordan, you know, like career earnings, like already surpassed, you know, like.
Inflation, though.
I'm just saying. I don't like LeBron. I don't support LeBron. I prefer Michael Jordan because I was of the era I was born in. I was just saying to kids now, LeBron is Michael Jordan of their generation. You know.
So you reckon? So think how iconic 23 is.
Mm.
You reckon?
Again, you're going to numbers. LeBron changes number. That's not a way to compare it.
Okay.
I'm just saying the number.
What number does he go? Michael Jordan's number.
The six is going to forever be like that. That. Kids wearing, you know, six.
Honestly, kids born in 2005 worship him like people worship Michael Jordan. I'm serious.
Yeah, yeah, just like because they weren't alive.
Just like kids
I've been
before,
alive for both.
Just like kids before worshipped Dr. J, and who remembers Dr. J anymore? Like no one, you know. Like,
aren't you proving our argument that Dr. J was the most famous basketballer, but he's nothing compared to how famous Michael Jordan was.
In 30 years' time, Michael Jordan will be remembered as like lesser again. Like his fame will diminish, and then LeBron's fame will diminish, and someone new will come along. Anyway, it's a bit of a redundant argument, but I'm just saying you've got to think a little bit of how important LeBron James is to young kids today and how well he's known around the world.
Yeah. I disagree. In 30 years, Michael Jordan will still be on the NBA uniforms, manufacturing them. Yeah. End of that sentence.
Okay. Paul, you hate LeBron as well. That's another thing.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I can't be.
Positives of the Space Jam movie. I thought it was hilarious. There's a few moments, right? I enjoyed the self-deprecation of it. To people like that, like LeBron taking shots at himself or people taking shots at LeBron. Bugs Bunny giving him shit for forming super teams and stuff like that. And I thought there was one genuinely good scene in the office when the security guard is giving the manager shit for losing LeBron James. I found that genuinely funny.
Yeah, that was great. I thought there weren't enough. I thought the funnier gags were more like the real deep digs at how he ruins basketball for his teammates.
Yeah, you reckon?
They should have played up more than that. They could have been like a great Della Dover cameo. Like have him walking into the team to like save the tunes, seeing LeBron like making them all do fundamentals and turning around again.
Overall, though, like an absolute dog of a movie, and I wouldn't recommend it to anyone who doesn't have an interest in basketball, but I'm sure
it seems
everyone will go see it. And the marketing budget is, I've never seen I can't remember the last time a movie was publicized like this. Like it's going to break all the records and LeBron's going to brag about how many millions of dollars of tickets are sold. But Anchorman 2, the marketing budget is just through the roof. Amazing.
He did that on Twitter. He's like, this is for my haters. And it's like, the haters weren't saying that it's not going to make money. The haters are saying that they didn't like the movie.
But in fairness to LeBron, like if you read any comments under his tweets, the people in America, well, I guess worldwide, but like the racists that hate LeBron just like hate him so much for no reason. If I was LeBron, I'd want to rub their nose in it at all times.
Well, they hate him because he opposes Trump, right? And like stuff like that. But yeah. Shout out to Space Jam 2. Overall, I did enjoy it, but I just thought it was absolute dog tugger. And I think the reason it was so frustrating is because you think of what it could have been. In jokes, the script is already written if you're just going to copy the first one. So, like, you need a Michael Jordan cameo in there. Like, you know, like...
You need some NBA. Like,
you need some more cameo. Yeah, I agree with Paul on more cameos.
Wasn't even really...
Poor choice as well for the cameo. None of those people were very funny.
It was clearly a doomed script from the beginning, though. They fired the director like 7 days in, which for a children's film is very funny to me. Because, you know, like when you're directing like Batman or something like that, it's a huge budget and it's stressful and like there's some nutter directors out there. But when you're making a fun Bugs Bunny movie, you think everyone will be happy to come to work every day and enjoying themselves. And I love that it was so toxic they had to fire. They hired a really weird director, by the way. The first director was like a indie director, and then the second director, I think the guy who ended up making this abomination was literally like LeBron's mate, who kind of hasn't directed. He directed a lot of films, but nothing much good.
What's crazy about the first one is the guy did like pretty much nothing else. He did one movie in '89 called Let It Ride. Then he did Space Jam, and then he only did commercials.
He's like, I've peaked. I've made the perfect film. And Space Jam 1, I don't know who the script writers were, but it just felt so much tighter. And Space Jam 2, the number of times they're explaining dialogue, they're explaining jokes, they repeat that the guy's called Algorithm. It was like quite painful and could have been like half an hour shorter if they just made a few trims in the edit.
You know? Can I just go back to the original Space Jam director, Joe Peitker?
Oh, I found an article with Peitker. I'm wondering if it's going to be the same one as you. No, you go, Paul.
No, I'm just on his Wikipedia and it says he's 82 years old. But the photo on his Wikipedia, it says, is from 2012. And it's him soaring through the air on a motorbike, supposedly in 2012. Like, he would have been like, okay, 9 years ago. He would have been, like, in his 70s.
Okay, that photo is in black and white. He's wearing a Nazi helmet. That photo looks like it's from the 1920s when he was trying to jump out of a concentration camp. And I realized that was World War I happening in 1920s? No.
No.
Damn it. Okay, forget.
1918.
Oh my God, we just found a current day photo of Joe Peitker, and man, that is funny. He looks like a monster who should play the villain in the Space Jam 2.
No, he looks like an old, what's the guy from The Room?
Oh, Tommy Wiseau.
He's bald with long white hair. So bald at the top, and then all his side bits are long and white, and he's in a tuxedo. That is haunting.
So I'm going to read you some Peitker quotes, because I think this guy might be an absolute super creep. But interestingly, he seems to agree with me and Paul on a lot of things.
Okay.
So Peitker referred to the film's soundtrack as, quote, insignificant. Yep, yes. Agreed. He says that he doesn't like the – he shares that sentiment, aka insignificant, about the NBA players. Agree. And he said, in short, the truth is that LeBron ain't Michael. Agree. But then he also goes on to decry the fact that Lola Bunny is desexualized, which is a weird thing to get upset about. And then says that he really gets on his soapbox about Bugs Bunny, saying he looked like one of those fluffy dolls you buy at an airport shift to bring to your kid when a business trip has taken too long, which is A, weirdly specific, and two, isn't that what you want from a kid? Isn't this for kids?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's pretty funny. The my favorite moment from the movie was the stuff.co.nz New Zealand review, which is one of the few positive reviews you can find of the movie on Rotten Tomatoes, which I'm guessing is because they're like in the pocket of the Warner Brothers company or whatever. But the review said, it's a love letter to movies and the people who make them. And that's because LeBron travels briefly through other Warner Brothers worlds. And I thought that bit was too short. I thought you could have played more with the comedy of LeBron being in Harry Potter, for example. I would have loved to see him in Quidditch just smashing children out the way or something, you know?
I was kind of shocked that the movie's 2 hours. And the one thing I will say, it didn't feel long to me, but I kind of mean that in a bad way. Like, it felt like they didn't really... Like, there was no sort of – everything was very quick, it felt like. Like, you know, he meets the Looney Tunes, and then he's like – they're like, game time. And it's like he – like, I know JT didn't want time with the Looney Tunes, but there's like – there's just sort of like nothing. There's like – they tried to put so much in so quickly that ultimately there's like nothing in there.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. It was not well shaped, and yeah, it seemed funny the idea that you wanted them to have a longer story arc connecting with the Looney Tunes. But you are right; they needed.
Well, on the storyboard, they clearly had a tile that was like, okay, we'll have 45 minutes where we'll like see all the cool characters from the Warner Brothers universe. But when they started filming it, they were like, "Oh, we haven't got any cool movies for like 50 years."
Does anyone have any extra thoughts about the great movie, the masterpiece that is Space Jam 2?
I've got 2 points.
Get in there.
One is absolutely gobsmacked that Anthony Anderson didn't. Why would they not get Anthony Anderson in there?
So you're talking about the actor who's
the actor. Like, there's so many affiliated NBA actors that I think it's criminal they weren't throwing a bone with this.
Yeah, I'm surprised I didn't get Kevin Hart. I did like the representation, like... It was cool to see a black villain. They have a good line where, like, the evil computer can be a black guy, which I think they, like, even referenced that. Like, there was a few moments that did feel quite good like that, but unfortunately they were few and far between. And the way the script was going, they should have moved out of comedy, gone full social justice, because comedy was not their strong suit.
Well, speaking of social justice, that's my other point. Like, if I can, I go to the movies, I love the movies, right? Love the silver screen. I love getting a popcorn and I love my large frozen Coke. Okay. I do not... I'm all for environmental causes, right? Big anti-plastic guy. But you cannot just give me a paper straw for my frozen Coke. I accept that plastic's out, but that's don't stop there. Give me, that got soggy halfway through and I was having to like scoop, like like try and get the straw, like whisking it around to get the bloody ice out. Come on.
This criticism doesn't sound like it's related to the movie, but still very valid.
Okay.
What do you replace? What do you do then, JT? What's the solution? You want to?
I've got a solution.
Oh, wow.
So you get a little kind of plastic. Okay, maybe not plastic. A little like wooden carved dish, right? They give it to you when you order and you take it and you put it down. And then between sips, you just slide the straw out and you lay it down on the little.
Great invention.
Yes. And then it's back in. Because I've started thinking, just because even with this, I get a standard Coke or Fanta and I hold off until the last second before putting my straw in. I put it in my pocket, carry it through.
So Paul, I that's a great idea. A little wooden tray that you place the straw on in between sips. And I like that. But the problem with that idea is when you pull the straw out, there's going to be residue coming off and getting on your clothes and getting on the seat.
No, but that's why the wooden bowl is like a bowl in the middle and then with a straw holder on the in through the middle. So you drip it, you like tap it into the bowl to drip all the residue. Then you lay it.
Okay, don't worry. I've got a solution to this though, right? We'll get a plastic. No, wait, not plastic. We'll weave it out of kind of like what do you make like a traditional Maori mat out of? Like a flax mat that you put over your body and legs for the whole movie, and that's to catch the drips of the straw to the tray technology. I reckon. What about that?
I like it. I'm in.
Or what about this? I went to the Cook Islands recently, and you drank a milkshake out of a. Brag that I went to the Cook Islands, very good place. I'd recommend going. You drank it out of a bamboo shoot, and I was like, genius. What
if
solved?
What if like Harry Potter, instead of wands, everyone carried around their own, like had their own straw.
That's good.
Cases where they flick it open.
We could make a lot of money selling. Like I'm the sort of guy that would spend big on a custom, like you know, like custom bespoke straw. There's money in there, a little case, you know, like one of those pool cue cases it's like in a third and you like screw it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have it, and it comes on like a holster that you attach to your belt or
jean. Oh, fuck yeah. Imagine if I saw a guy at the movies come down, sit next to me, unscrew, like I open a little display case, screw together a three-part straw, holster it on some sort of chest holster, and then set up his bamboo dipping bowl and straw holder. Fuck. Well,
he still need the dipping.
He doesn't need the dipping bowl anymore.
Yeah, because he's a connoisseur.
Yeah.
But this is actually, this idea could go viral. Like, it would just become this weird meme. Attach it to lanyards as well. It could be big. So final call on Space Jam takes. Any more hot takes? We're all quite disappointed. I think that's the general takeaway.
No, I'm stopped. I've been very clear. I liked it.
Oh,
if you edit it out,
wait. After the 30 minutes of like diatribe of hate we seem to give it, you're a fan.
No,
of
I was never hating it. If you edit out the Looney Tunes and make it clear that LeBron's the
Tunes
villain,
the main part of the movie.
No, they're not.
This is the middle part. You get rid of them, and you make it way more obvious that LeBron never like. There's a really cool scene. Watch it again. So LeBron's in the spoiler alert for the next minute. LeBron's in the changing room, and he's trying to get the tunes to like. Play his way, and then Bugs is like, it's not fun, and it's like, oh, and LeBron's like, oh, I realize my whole career I've been like ruining guys by making them play my way or no else, and it's like destroying all these guys. I've learnt my lesson. He comes back out to the court, he like has a whole lot of fun, and it does look fake, and I was like, man, this is maybe LeBron's not a good actor, but I didn't realize how good an actor he really is. Sort of looks wooden. Dom, LeBron's son in the movie, looks over and is like, oh, wow, Dad's having fun. Maybe he's learned his lesson. And then everyone's having a great time. And then LeBron stops having fun, looks at LG, the villain, and, like, gives him, like, a real villain, like, bad look. And you're like, oh, my God, LeBron isn't having fun at all. He's just, like, doing this all as a ruse. All he cares about is dominating his opponent. And I thought, wow, great movie.
What a film. What a flick. Give it a star score out of 5, JT.
Like one, it was still like absolute shit.
4 out of 5?
Yeah, I'm going 1 as well.
Yeah, I'll give it a, I'll give it a half a star. Just before we go, I just cracked a high again. Just before we go, I'd like to talk about NBA, the Olympics, but if anyone's got anything else they want to talk about, we've got a couple of minutes left.
Nah, hate the Olympics, but let's talk about it.
You hate the Olympics? No, but I've had this chat with a lot of people. You hate it because ethically they're bad, right?
Oh, I just think it's dumb. I just think it's the dumbest thing ever.
Can I sell you on Olympic basketball? Because Kevin Durant's there. The NBA, the America has a lot of injuries and don't have necessarily their best team, but they've got close to it. They could select, you know, Popovich could select whoever he wants. The USA lost their first game to you've got to rewatch that game if you haven't seen it, JT, to France. It's a really exciting game to see Fournier just light it up.
Pure magic.
Australia are the favourites. Luka Doncic, can I spoil that result?
Yeah, that's fun.
Luka Doncic dropped what did he drop today? 40?
50.
50?
Yeah.
This is in a FIBA game, that is insane. The games are so fun. They over in 2 hours. Like, there's 6 teams that could legitimately win this.
Yeah, but I've got no issue with international basketball. But we don't need an Olympic. Like, I don't need all the other shit that comes with the Olympics.
Yeah. You don't have to watch that, JT. You don't have to watch that.
But then it's not the Olympics. You're just saying, do I like international basketball? Then, yeah. I
guess. No, but the Olympic basketball is better than everything else because the NBA players actually play. And I will say that if you watch the road cycling, then you're missing out. And also the mountain biking today was great. There's a lot of good stuff in the Olympics. You've just got to dig through a lot of taekwondo bullshit to find it. Taekwondo, I think, what's the bad sport? Is it judo? The one where they just kick each other in the stomach and they're wearing big pads. That's horrible. But there's a lot of good. The Simone Biles, is it Simone?
Simone Biles.
Simone Biles in the watching her do her flips, and it's amazing. Amazing.
Hey, quick question before I say the next thing I'm going to say. what are like libel or defamation laws in New Zealand? Can I say whatever I want?
Yeah, you can basically say anything, but I actually did a story on this and I've kind of forgotten, but like, yeah, if you're damaging someone's reputation with lies, then you can be sued, but it's very, very difficult to prove in most cases. It very rarely happens in New Zealand. Continue.
Okay, I'm just going to ask a question then.
Yeah.
Is a 4-second improvement in a swim time, like, that's pretty unbelievable without some sort of performance enhancing?
It's massive, massive, yeah.
Is there any suspicion?
Well, I don't know.
New Zealand guy.
I believe, and I don't follow the Olympics at all, so my only Olympics knowledge comes from, like, hearsay.
Yeah.
And I overheard someone in a meeting say that that 17-year-old swimmer from New Zealand bettered her previous personal best by 4 seconds in the qualifier.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of New Zealanders like that. And, yeah, so what you're doing here, JT, just so people who at home can tell – you're accusing your own country's national.
No, not accusing. Not accusing.
State-sponsored doping.
I'm going to jump on and do it as well. Absolutely a red flag of that huge of an improvement. Like, if you look at Usain Bolt back in before the 2008 Beijing, when he kind of burst onto the scene, you'll see that like he just made a massive jump.
Okay,
and it's the same here.
And also there was a male swimmer for New Zealand who also in 1 year before qualifying did like a huge jump as well. But I will say this to defend it. A, New Zealand, we don't have enough money and we're not smart enough to do drugs.
I don't think you need money.
And okay. And here's the other thing that I'll say to defend New Zealand. These guys are very young. And so at young levels,
they increase
quickly. And the other thing I'll say is that COVID missed a year. So these people haven't been timed since 2019.
That is a good point.
There's been like a whole year and a half. It's a 17-year-old. So their last time was when they were like almost 15. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. But yeah. But multiple New Zealand swimmers have had big jumps. And I've been loving it. If anything, they haven't won. So if anything, I'm like, New Zealand swimmers, if you're listening, more drugs. Get it in, yeah.
I really hope New Zealanders don't.
Kiwi pride.
I'd really like to find out. Like, I'd love New Zealand to be in a scandal of that.
Shit, yeah. And no one would ever accuse us anyway. Like, no one.
Do you know who's not doping? Our cycling team. Those guys were bullshit. What about that guy who dropped out like halfway through the race? Did he not know how long the race? Did he not know cycling was hard? What's going on?
Do we have a fencer? Fencing's a cool sport. I'd watch that.
Nah, fence. You say that until you actually watch it. The idea of fencing is cool. and the way it is in movies is cool.
I had that today.
Watching it is bad.
I had that today with handball. In my head, I always thought handball was awesome. And then watching it today, it seems like a game you invented, like, or someone in your PE class invented, and your teacher was like, okay, we'll play it. But the rules just kind of haven't, but like, they just pass it and they're just running around. Like, and then they seem to run in and just barrel someone over and chuck it as hard as they can. Like, it doesn't seem well.
It's like basketball without like any rules.
Yeah.
And or excitement or brown people.
Hey, speaking of, I was gonna make a bad joke, but I won't. Speaking of great sports.
Do the joke.
No, I was going to speak of no brown people and then talk about ice hockey, but I don't know if that's true
it's
or
definitely,
not.
It's definitely true. Definitely true, yeah.
But not Olympics, but how much fun did we all have at the ice hockey?
Oh, it was great. Amazing. If you're in New Zealand and you want to see some ice hockey and you live in one of the three towns that actually has a team, then go check it out, because seeing ice hockey up close is great.
Is that at Winter Olympics?
Yeah. We watched the Botany Swarm beat the West Auckland Admirals 2-1. Thrilling game.
Gutted, because we're all big Admirals here. We're Admiral admirers is what they call the fans.
I think Paul might be a Swarm head.
No, maybe I am. Maybe I am a Swarm guy.
But just back, JT, are you out of the Olympic basketball? Or are you not watching it? Is that what you're saying?
I won't watch any Olympics. I just don't care.
Oh man, you're a mad dog. It's the pinnacle of most, even track and field. You're a mad dog.
I don't care. Running, so I don't. I hate any. These are the sports that I'll tolerate, that I like. I like 100 meters. I love the relay. The relay is the best sport on the planet. It's the purest.
Is it not annoying though? America basically wins all of them though. Is that not annoying?
No, not to the last. Not last 16 years. Not since Usain.
Oh well, okay, yeah. Jamaica's got as good drugs as America, so they're out there too.
Yeah, but as a sport, the most purest sport you can get, teamwork and individual. I like diving. I like gymnastics, and I like fencing.
It sounds like you like 50% of the Olympics.
The thing I hate the most about the Olympics is how they like have these desperate grabs at attention, like getting skateboarding in there. No kid, no 14-year-old is like on TikTok scrolling and being like, oh, whoa, cool, dude. The skateboarding's at the Olympics. I'm going to now watch terrestrial TV like an old person for 8 hours a day.
Bro, this will make you die. Next Olympics in Paris, they're introducing breakdancing.
Oh, my God.
How this good is that?
90-year-olds like Google what's cool in the world.
They should introduce TikTok synchronized dancing as an event at Brisbane 2028 or whatever.
32.
But I mean, this Olympics is a pandemic. Rio, they flattened poor people's villages to build them and spray tear gas people outside the stadiums. The next one's in China. Like, I feel like this could be the death of Olympics anyway. And I love the Olympic basketball, so I'd love to pod again about the basketball. But JT, you might not be on it. I tune into the basketball, JT.
I'll watch it for the pod.
Yeah, good commitment. You did Space Jam and now you do the basketball. I love you, bro. Thanks to everyone for listening. No one's got any final comments to get in there?
I just had one question. Who do you think is going to win MVP next year, NBA?
Wow.
I mean, usually we save that for the season preview.
Get in there now. Get in there now. Get an early one. You can reset it. MVP next year. I mean, I picked Luka this year and I was miles off. But based on the fact that he scored 50 points in the Olympics today, I'd probably go Luka is just on such a rise, and he'll be on such a tear after the heartbreak of, you know, a bad playoff defeat. Luka, I reckon.
Damn, that was going to be my one. Paul?
He's probably the favourite.
I'll go Giannis. Wait, he didn't win this year. I guess I'll go Giannis as my first thought.
Okay.
No, I'm going to go Steph Curry. Steph Curry.
Great pick.
Here's a question. Players don't really – I feel like LeBron's had some goes at it. Like, I feel like LeBron, if he didn't get injured, he was definitely going for it this year and probably would have at least finished second in voting. But, players don't go for it. Like, I'd probably put Durant in there, but, he's just not going to play enough games and not care enough to do it, you know?
I think Harden went for it and did, because Harden didn't realise he was never going to get it. He'd have to – it's crazy that Harden – Harden's never won, right?
No, he must have won one.
I'm pretty sure.
He won one, but he deserved three.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
I think LeBron would have got it. And even if LeBron wasn't the best player, LeBron like had that unlock if he just hadn't got injured. And they'd still got a reasonable...
This year? Or
standing, yeah. This year.
He was looking pretty good.
I disagree.
And more yoga. Well, you hate LeBron.
No, but it's like... Should be stats, right?
Lakers had the best record, and he's playing very well.
He's their second best player. You can't. You got to be the most.
In the regular season, he was on track. He was looking good.
Well, Anthony Davis MVP was playing. Is traditionally someone who puts up crazy stats on a team that's like middling.
Well, it shouldn't be that, but that's what it is.
My prediction: I was wrong this year. I thought the Warriors were going to bounce back this year. Next year, they're going to bounce
back. No, Paul, 2 years ago, you said the Warriors are going to bounce back. And then this year, you said they're going to bounce back. And now, you can't do it 3 years in a row.
It's a big bounce. It's more like a skimming stone.
Skim back.
Yeah.
Are the Warriors going to be back? They're in a bit of trouble, right? Because they can't...
They got to offload James Wiseman.
They got Wiseman and they got Wiggins, right? And it's like, you get rid of Wiggins, but what do you get rid of him? You know, you're not going to get Simmons for him. Like, what do you... Like, Wiggins is good in their system, but, like, you can't get... You kind of want to upgrade. Yeah, they're a bit of a tricky situation, the Warriors. I think they're going to be all right, but yeah. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
I don't know why. Who would they want instead of Wiggins?
Well, just, I don't know, a better player? Someone who contribute in the playoffs? And yeah, I don't know. Just someone. Yeah, I don't know. Any final comments? Almost there. Bloody lovely. Well, thanks to everyone who listened. We sincerely appreciate it. My name's Guy. I'm joined by my brother, Paul.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Comment?
Just want to check whether you do that, Paul.
No, I don't do it.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
Good to check though. So are we doing an international basketball episode?
I'm enjoying it so much. I'd love to.
It'll be international basketball and season postseason awards.
I'm in.
Guys, the draft is in like 3 days.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we can combo draft then. That'll be action packed.
Yes, we'll do a post draft analysis as well.
Yeah,
I'm currently doing my ranking system.
Paul's sure,
there's some great names. There's some really good names at the top of that draft.
I cannot wait to analyze them in depth. JT, sign out.
JT, signing out.
See you later and goodbye.
See ya.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.